Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and may the blessings of Almighty God be upon each and every one of you today as we come your way. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, the Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located on the Walt Arney Road in the Whitnall section of Lenore, North Carolina. If you're in our area at any time, you have a cordial invitation to worship with us in our services. The Sunday school is 9:30, morning worship service 10:30, evening message at 7 o'clock each Sunday evening, and on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, we have Bible study and youth work called the Berean Youth. God spake to the prophet Ezekiel, and he told Ezekiel to set his face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to those that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue, to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come to you? This is Ezekiel 13, 17, and 18. God herein describes those who hunt souls and promise to save them souls alive that come to them. Verse 19, And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Here we have people who are promising people that they can make their soul be saved and save them alive, and God says you save the souls alive that should not live, and you slay the souls that should not die by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Now thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against your pillars wherewith you hunt souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Now this is the word of God. As we read the Word of God here, we have found that men hunt souls to make them fly. They claim to save alive the souls that come unto them. And thirdly, God wants to know, can you save the souls that come to you? Can you keep them alive? He accuses such of slaying the souls that should not die and saving the souls alive that should not live. Here we come into an area that theologians have been perplexed and bewildered over. The soul of man, it is claimed, cannot die by the religions of the world for centuries of time. Let's look at what God is saying here and compare it with this thought. If the soul cannot die, then you could not save a soul alive because it already could not die and would need no saving from death. But when we come to the next verse, we find that these slay the souls which should not die. How could you slay something that could not die? And if God says a soul should not live, why should we try to make that soul live and fight against God? God explains what it's all about in verse 22. He says, Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you strengthened the hand of the wicked, that he should not turn from his wicked way by promising him life, or that he'll live forever. God accuses the prophets of Israel who made these lies become as divine truth by lying, and they've made the heart of the righteous sad by promising the wicked that their souls could live forever. At this point, let us ask you, just how will the righteous live forever? Does the soul of the righteous ever die? Why then do they need the Lord to give them eternal life? And when do they find eternal life given to them? In other words, when shall the children of God become possessors of eternal life? 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that's God's record, that God's record and all other records will fail miserably when compared with God's record. And this is the record that God hath given to them eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Let's ask ourselves a great question, and let's see if we cannot qualify a better understanding in our hearts. If the wicked man hath not life, just where is he going to get it from, since that only he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath no life, since God only gives eternal life to those who are in his Son? In Romans 6:23, we discover the wages of sin is death. We do not find that the wages of sin is eternal torture in a devil's hell. For a man to live forever in a devil's hell, he'll have to have eternal life. But he that hath not the Son hath no life. Now where will he get it? Is it not true that religions promise the wicked that they'll live forever? God said that this very promise made the heart of the righteous sad. Why? Because it isn't true. God said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I've set before you life and death. Now these are the two paths and the two gates that God has set before the human race. One is life, the other is death. Blessing and cursing. One leads to death, the other to life. The true servant of the Lord declares that life eternal is received by the recipient on the conditions that the recipient meets the conditions of God as laid out in the scriptures, and that man in no way has immortality or eternal life in possession now personally as a natural gift by birth. Psalms 89:48 says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave or the power of the grave? The psalmist wants to know, just who is any man, or where is any man that's ever lived and shall not see death? There just isn't one man in all the universe that can deliver his soul from the power of the grave. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. The tragedy of opposing God is when we try to exclude some men from death by twisting and distorting and believing Satan's lie, ye shall not surely die. We make an immaterial man to slip out of the body of the physical man and claim that that man cannot die. The soul just cannot die is the common concept of the religious world today, and yet is far from the truth. In Ezekiel 18:4-20, the scriptures declare plainly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. To oppose what God said, religions rise up and declare the soul that sinneth shall live in eternal torture or torment forever. If it's wicked, it's going to live anyway. Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah were set forth for an example of the coming wrath of God upon the wicked. Fire and brimstone was rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Did it destroy them or give them life eternal? Think about that. Jude verse 7 says, they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. This eternal fire is not burning today. It went out when it had destroyed the cities. Part of the Dead Sea now covers the place of the destroyed cities. There is an example of eternal fire. Not the eternal in that it did not go out, but the results of what it devoured was eternal. There's not one theologian in all the world who can produce a bodiless human being, and yet that's all we talk about. Anyone without a body is nobody. People talk about what they can do outside the body. You cannot even think without a body. You cannot see without a body. You cannot eat without a body. You cannot drink a drink without a body. There's not even a bodiless Savior. There's no such thing as a bodiless angel. Men who have talked with angels have fell before their feet, heard them speak with their tongues, have washed their feet, seen them eat. Eternal fire will consume those who have not eternal life, but it will not burn forever and ever. The words burn forever and ever are nowhere found in the entire Bible concerning the wicked. It's preached, I'm willing to admit, but not biblical. The fire will do its work, and then when the work is completed, it will be finished. When we go back and see what happened when God created man, we find that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. But that form was not alive nor living until God did administer to that form made of the dust the breath of life. And that's all that God ever inserted into this form made of the ground was the breath of life. And as long as we breathe, we live. And when the breath leaves us, we die. And we return to the earth from whence we were taken. There is nothing else said to have been put within the form that God created. Nowhere does he say God made an immaterial man or formed an immaterial man. And you could not form immaterial to begin with. It's inconsistent. It does not say that God put the immaterial man into the material man or physical man. When the man sinned, did the soul eat? Was it responsible? Did only the body eat? If so, why did the soul come under condemnation and the body live on if that's the way it was? Why did the body get to live on 930 years after it had eaten of the forbidden fruit when the soul had to die for eating it? Did the soul eat, I ask? If it didn't, then why did it die? The very day that theologians claim that it died a spiritual death, a term which is not found in the scriptures. If it did and God put it to death that day, then the soul can die. But the body lived on for 930 years. But can a man live without the soul? Was there a dead soul in the physical man? If so, then the soul can die. God would not be handing out one judgment to the soul and another to the body when they both ate at the same time. The Bible says that Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Not Adam's body died. The same man that God created of the dust of the ground that he put the breath of life in is the man that ate of the tree of life. He only had the power to eat and to live and to move while he had the breath of life. The Lord made it very dogmatic in the scriptures that the breath of man goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth when it does. And in that very day that this happens to him, his thoughts perish. Now that's the word of God from 146, verses 3 and 4. Now when Adam died, did God release his soul to go to its reward? What became the living soul to begin with? Why, the man that God had created from the dust of the ground. God did not put a living soul in the man, but the man which God had formed became a living soul. The wages of sin is death, not living forever in misery, because the two gates that God has set before us is one is life and the other is death. The body is the person. The person is the body. The person is the soul, and the soul is the person. In Matthew 10, 12, we find the disciple took the body of John the Baptist and buried it. Who did they bury? They buried John the Baptist. When Jesus died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea took away the body of Jesus. And when he and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and in the garden, the scriptures say there was a new tomb. And there lay they who? What does the scripture say? Who does the scripture say they laid in this new tomb? It says, there laid they Jesus. John 19:38-42. The angel at the resurrection scene confirmed this same truth, and he told the women who came to the tomb, come see the place where, what lay? The Lord lay. Now it's claimed that the Lord was an immaterial, immortal soul that was off somewhere else and wasn't in the tomb at all. And yet the angel strictly and very affirmatively and positively say that it was the Lord that lay in that tomb. Whatever lay there in that tomb was the Lord. Now you may have an immaterial Jesus, but I want to tell you something today, friend. Praise God, I've got a material Jesus who's alive and living. He's sitting at God's right hand in heaven. This same Jesus is coming again. And you won't see some kind of immaterial ghost floating down through the sky. You're going to see the real literal Jesus, material Jesus, tangibly coming again. Something immaterial cannot even stand or sit by the right hand of God. There's not one verse of scripture in all the Bible that sustains the idea that a man lives on beyond this life during this mortal realm and this time in this present world. Let us look at the great Bible verse known unto all men. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Note, should not perish. Perish is the opposite of living. In this case, it comes from a word that is translated perish 33 times and destroy 3 times, or that it should not be destroyed. When we destroy something, it does not continue to exist. We hope these thoughts have been a blessing to you today. We'll cause you to study God's Word. It will give you enrichment in the things of God and give you a greater understanding. We invite you to join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We praise Thee because that Thou art God and we are Thy creation. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. We ask Thee to mold us and make us to conform to thus saith the Lord, that we might live by the Bible, by the truth that's in therein, and that we may glorify Thee and serve Thee and be willing to submit our wills to Thee, that Thou mayest always be truthful and all men may be large when they compare themselves with God. Now bless us with truth of God, and we'll praise You in Jesus' name.